the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh man, my racing already here this morning. Hang on there, where they're my. I just got a tap on the back there real quick. So I want to get to say, hey, good morning. Good morning. It's Friday, the seventh day of March of 2025. And this is show number, help me out, Spencer. What show number is it? 2306. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Who would have ever thunk it? Yeah, I'm kind of excited today for different reasons. Coach Norm would appreciate this if he's listening. We live in what I call a McDonald's generation. Meaning this, we want to drive through, order it, and have it delivered. But that's really where we are. And especially we've made that pretty much for the truth about our faith. We want to name it and claim it. We want to pray about it and have it. And, you know, my experience in my life as a football coach is it was the tough times, always the tough times, the tough practices, the grind and the grunt that led to victory. It was always that way. Victory that's easy isn't very gratifying, really. It's not very gratifying. Victory. It's Ohio State Buckeyes. Back in the old days when Ohio State and Michigan were the two best teams in the Big Ten, everybody just played the nine games before the Michigan game to see who's going to win the Big Ten. Because everybody knew that Ohio State and Michigan were the two best teams. Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, those were just teams on the schedule. And so Ohio State would be, you could go back and check it. You go back to 1971, 72, 73, and Ohio State's beaten Northwestern 87 to nothing. They're beating Indiana by the same thing. Why? Because it really wasn't much of a challenge. But the time and the place that we find ourselves in, the Lord is, you better grasp this. He uses hardship to deepen and strengthen you. And when you're going through something, when we're all going through something, it's like, again, I flash back to football. Those guys hated running sprints. They hated doing push-ups. They hated doing all those things. But those were the things that made the victory more certain. In fact, after they won a game over a really, really tough opponent, God, they were joyful. They were glad. Thanks, Coach, for taking me through that. Oh, my God, I thought I was going to die. Right? Anybody out there amening? Know what I'm talking about? And we're living in a Christianity. We're expecting good things from God without any investment, sadly, for that's the most part. And it's been my experience, it still continues to be my experience, that a lot of times we bring new converts onto the team, and they fall away. Oh, thanks, Michelle. Okay, bring new converts in the team. We tell them all the good things about God and how much God loves them and yada. I'm coming, Joe. Hang on with me. How much God loves them and he has a wonderful plan for their life, yada, 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 yada. And then when something bad hits, they don't have the depth to be able to walk through it. And it's also one of the problems that we have with our modern church system, in my opinion. You walk into... I don't care what size church, 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, 5,000 people. Who really in there is it that you're intimate with? Who is it really that when things are really going bad and you need encouragement, who in your church can you pick up and call? Who can you call? Because I can promise you this, the old adage, nothing worth having ever comes easy. And that's especially true spiritually as well. I get to say this because I'm hosting the show. If I were to open it up right now and say, hey, tell me the row you have plowed, some of the stories that you guys could tell me about what has happened throughout your life, loss of spouses, loss of children, loss of businesses, you know what I'm talking about, right? And all of it has brought you to the place where you are right now, where you are right now. And you look over the shoulder and think, God, how did I make it through that? And see, that's not the folks, I'm telling you, that's not the message we're hearing from the church. That's why the idea of what was it somebody said about where would I find that? Oh, I'll keep it private. Coach Norm, I don't know if you're out there. You know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you this story later on. This is like the third, maybe fourth football player that I've seen publicly now. Guy I coached 20 years ago had something really horrible happen to him and found the Lord in the midst of it. And now is on the other side serving the Lord. And I just sit back and God, Lord, those seeds, they grew. They grew. Those seeds I planted, they grew. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And really, for the most part, that's not the message of the gospel. It's just not, man. It's hard. How about this? Joe, I haven't forgotten you, I promise you. We're going to get to it. Pull up Hebrews 12. The reality of this. Hebrews chapter 12. You read this verse, you read this first sentence, and then you gasp and then say, what? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What does that mean? We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What are those witnesses doing? They're cheering you on. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Because boys and girls, you can't run the race if you're carrying weights and you're carrying sins. You can't run it. It slows you down. Yeah. Well, sometimes you used to let the football players run sprints. I would say, take off your helmet and shoulder pads. And oh, what a relief that would be. They would run forever without those weights on top of them. Right? What does that mean? The depth of that. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. What are the witnesses doing? They've run the race. They've run it. They said, go, dude, go. You can do go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. He went through hell, literally, and I hate to tell you this, so will you. And the idea that you're going to live a Christian life, have a Christian walk without persecution and tribulation and distress, somebody's lying. If they're telling you that in your church, somebody's lying to you. Lay aside every weight. Huh? Which so easily besets us. What does it mean to beset? Spencer, that'd be a good word. What does that mean? What does Webster say it means to beset? Because some out there, some trying to beset you. Huh? To surround, to enclose, to hem in, to besiege, to press on all sides, so as to perplex, to entangle, to waylay, to fall upon. All sins, they do what? They lay on you, they fall on you, they perplex you, they entangle you. He said, let us lay away all those things, those worldly things. Now, I'm not making light of that because a lot of you right now are dealing with a lot of worldly things. to coin a phrase, I'm going to coin it. The world's a bitch, ain't it? I mean, isn't it really? Huh? Holy criminy. And if Paul said, if we have faith in this world only, we're of all men most miserable. Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me we are born, we live this crappy life, and we die, and that's it? That's it? Really? By the way, what do you think? What percentage of Americans, not Christians, what percent of Americans believe in an afterlife, I wonder? And what percent of Americans who believe in an afterlife think they're going to have a good one apart from Christ? And how do we, in a Christian nation with churches on every corner in downtown, how do we get to a point where people don't understand the gospel? How did that happen? Oh, I know how. Because we have an adversary who roars around like a roaring lion, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And for the most part, the average person you deal with every day has no understanding of the spiritual war. Joe, I haven't forgot you, I promise. I got to get it out of me. I don't love the Republicans. I think the Republicans are pretty wicked, to be honest with you. But if you could not see the wickedness of the people that the opposition to the Republicans, if you cannot see the wickedness coming out of them the other night at that, I don't know what to tell you. But if you don't look at it with spiritual eyes and understand that there is a Savior and there is a devil and there is a conflict and that the kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against it. If you don't understand that, none of this stuff is going to make sense. And I had a guy say to me yesterday, 2 days ago, doesn't matter, how can you vote for Trump? How can you as a Christian man vote for Trump? I thought about it. Well, because I can't vote for Biden. I could stay home. But I kind of, of the two choices, I kind of like what Trump's doing. I'm not hiring a pope. I'm not hiring a pope. And the only reason we end up getting guys like Joe Biden and guys like Donald Trump, from a spiritual standpoint, is because the church won't get involved with it. The problem's the church. I want to encourage you today, man. I want to encourage you. We're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight and every sin which catches you, traps you. Run with patience. Michelle's going to go to a funeral today of one of her high school buddies. And I just said to her, so Michelle, death is a reality, man. Every day, get up. You could die. People are dying. It's a reality of it. Do we even talk about that? Do we talk about that with our friends? Where are you going to go? I'm going to get into all that after Joe does communion. So, Joe, thanks for giving me that 14 minutes here at the top of the show, brother. I appreciate you getting up. And but look, he said, as often as you do this in memory of me. And I'm going to hurt your feelings right now. You don't need a priest to bless it. I'm sorry. You don't need a priest to bless it. He doesn't need to squirt holy water on you before you do it. Jesus said, whoever will come to my table. Come on in. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, thank you, Coach. Now I say, sorry, everybody. The reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit
incorruption. Stop a minute, Joe. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Joe, I'm flesh and blood, aren't I? Yeah, we'll get into that later on. Keep on going here. My phone's blowing up on me.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Wow.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Amen.
For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Wow.
O death, where is thy sting?
Mm-hmm.
O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
Amen, brother. Amen.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Joe, the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that other law of sin and death. Isn't that unbelievable? Two laws, huh? One law trumping another law. The law of sin and death, the soul that sins, it will die, period. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has canceled that law. Been vetoed. That law has been vetoed. Wow, it's powerful, man.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again with gratitude in our hearts. Gratitude for all you're doing in our lives and all that you've done. Gratitude for the shaking and work you're doing in our nation now, for showing us who serves evil and who is endeavoring to serve you. And we're so grateful for this unique congregation here, Lord, that meets almost every day in the week, if there's not a holiday. And Lord, I know that everybody's grateful and they're amazed with what they can get to know each other, and they can share you, and they can be from all across this great nation you've given us. And we have so much in common, and you are that common thread, Lord. You are the thread that sews us and keeps us together. Help us to support each other, to support our families, our communities, our churches, our works, our business, and help us to turn the corner, to turn this corner that we're turning now, to help bring this flotilla in the right direction and keep it there, Lord. We're not going to be lazy next time and not be involved in our communities and our politics. We're going to be vigilant, Lord. We're going to remember not just to watch sports on and movies and Netflix and hobbies and all these things that we do to distract ourselves. We've got to remain involved in the fabric of our communities, because when you don't do that, the enemy will steal it. And we're so grateful you're letting us get ours back, because it was almost gone forever. And we are also so extremely grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ and for communion. And we ask that you bring us cleansed into your sight. Forgive us our sins and our transgressions. And let us remember that this can be the meal that heals, can heal our body, can heal our soul, can heal a wounded spirit in us. So let this be the meal that heals, Lord. Let anybody who needs this to have the faith to receive the healing that you are giving us, that you have paid for with your stripes so many years ago. And we ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you watch over everybody on this call or that listens to the recording and their families, friends, and all they come in contact with. And help us to remember that we are your ambassadors, Lord. And when we come in challenging situations, just always remember WWJD. What would Jesus do if he were here right now? Because that time when he turned over the tables. And I think we often turn over tables when they shouldn't be turned over. There are times when they should be, Lord. Help us to give us that discernment. We know that we don't always do it the way Jesus would have done. Help us to remember and do it better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come."
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, the Holy Spirit just winked at me, Jared. Sorry, Spence. Bring up John 11:25. You believe this? Jesus said unto her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We don't understand that. We don't understand the magnitude of that. What I have planned this morning, a couple things have been planned. First of all, I got a punch in the gut from my wife. Spencer, did I just send it to you? Not a punch in my gut. That's not true. She walked down here and handed me My Utmost for His Highest from Oswald Chambers. So she said it, then it's important. And I want to read that today. But here's what I want to do a little bit of testimony time today. A little testimony time. How many of you yesterday called somebody, sent a text, so whatever? Oswald Chambers says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." I don't want to die right now. I love my life, my family. But I think that when we get on the other side, we're going to say, "Daggone, wish I'd have come sooner." Paul was speaking here of the things that might seem likely to separate a saint from the love of God. But the remarkable thing is that nothing can come between the love of God and a saint. Are you a saint? I think I'm a saint. The thing Paul mentioned in his passage can and do disrupt the close fellowship of our soul with God and separate our natural love from him. But none of them is able to come between the love of God and the soul of a saint on the spiritual level. Isn't this amazing? My wife just sent me this. I hadn't read this morning. I wanted to talk this morning about the soul. We'll see if we get to it. But none of them is able to come between the love of God and the soul of a saint on the spiritual level. The underlying foundation of the Christian faith is the undeserved, limitless miracle of the love of God that was exhibited on the cross of Calvary, a love that is not earned and can never be earned. Paul said this is the reason that in all things we are more than conquerors. We are super victors with a joy that comes from experiencing the very things which look as if they were going to overwhelm us. Somebody say amen, right? Huh? The faithfulness of God to get you through something you never you didn't even want to do it. You didn't even want to face it. You got through it. Huge waves that would frighten an ordinary swimmer produce a tremendous thrill for the surfer who rides them. Let's apply that to our own circumstances. The things we try to avoid and fight against, tribulation, suffering, and persecution, are the very things that produce abundant joy in us. We are more than conquerors. Would you rather win the Super Bowl or the Kindergarten Bowl? Some of us are just trying to win the Kindergarten Bowl. In all these things, in all these things, you're a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Not on the outside, not watching somebody else, being in the midst of them and God taking you through them in all these things. Not in spite of them, but in the middle of them. The saint doesn't know the joy of the Lord in spite of tribulation because of it. But because of it, I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. I'm going through, baby! The undiminished radiance, which is the result of abundant joy, is not built on anything passing, but on the love of God that nothing can change. And the experience of life, whether they are everyday events or terrifying ones, are powerless. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Nothing. And you're going through. You're going through. Like going through a car wash. You guys ever go to those car washes? You get in the middle and you put your get your wheels all lined up, put it in neutral, and then that machine pulls you through it. You're on the other side, blow dries you, and you drive off in a nice clean car. And in all these things, in them, we're more than conquerors. All right, man, that's 28 minutes. I just want to open it up. Anybody got anything you want to say here on Flea Flick? That's what my wife told me to do. She said, honey, just have a Flea Flicker Friday. So I'm having a, I got more. I got some really heavy stuff I want to share with you, but I'm going to open it up. Julie, come on in.
Good morning. Yeah, just as we're going through these things, he's right in there with us. He's helped taking us through it because without him, we wouldn't make it. Thanks.
Amen. Author and the finisher of our faith. That he take. Yeah, he takes us through some sucky time. Yeah, he does. Betty, come on in.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to remind people tomorrow the time changes. And also...
What? Say it again.
Time changes tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow night. Actually, it changes Sunday, but it's tomorrow night. Gotcha. Gotcha, baby.
Gotcha. Okay. And also, sometimes when you pray for a miracle, you get two. So I am going to be a grandma, and here's the pictures of the babies.
All right, Betty.
Yeah. So I've been excited for a month and couldn't tell anybody. So I am just tickled. So I pray it all goes well with them. They're healthy. The mom's healthy. Everything's good.
Amen. 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 Michelle, I should ask Michelle this before I say it. I'm going to say it. God bless you, Betty. Come on, anybody else? Testimony. Anybody? Come on. Alan.
Hey, good morning, Coach.
Morning,
buddy. We're working this big Plant City Strawberry Festival down here in Florida. Almost 1 million people comes to it in 11 days. And wow. So I wear this ugly orange shirt, you know, I got. Yeah. I wear it everywhere I go. So last night,
Alan,
I was walking around and this kid.
Alan.
Yeah.
What does the shirt say for the people who don't know you?
On the front and on the back, it said, if you need prayer, ask me.
There you go. All right.
So I'm standing there in line. My wife wanted me to grab her something, so I'm standing. This young kid, he's probably 19. He walks up, earrings all in his head, face, and everything else. He says, sir, are you handing out prayers? I looked at him. I said, yes, sir. I said, give me 1 second. So I got what I needed. I walked over there. There's four of them. One of them, one female, three males. They're all about 20. One of them attends church. One of the males used to attend church, doesn't any longer. They know nothing about God, brother. Nothing. Nothing about the Lord. And I said, well, what do you guys want me to pray for? And the one kid had asked me, he said, oh, just life. I said, well, you know, God's specific. I said, when Jesus rolled into town, everybody just didn't get healed. I said, the people that had problems would come up to him and beg him to heal them. He didn't just walk up and say, hey, you need your eyeballs healed? No. They run over, holler, and scream, hey, Lord, Lord, I need you to do something over here. And so, anyway, I got to pray with them. You know, they totally don't know anything, Coach, just like what you were just saying. They really don't know nothing. Zero. And the one girl said, well, I know we're kind of living in the last days because of Ukraine, Trump, you know, all this stuff, just a hodgepodge of stuff. And I said, look, y'all put your hands on me. So they, because I had a handful of stuff. So they wrapped their arms around me. And I just asked the Lord to touch their spiritual eyes, touch their spiritual hearts, let men and women of God be in their path so that they'll be able to prayerfully be able to see what's really going on. Because these young teenagers, early 20s, they really are clueless about Jesus, about sin, about repentance. I mean, Coach, they ain't even in pre-K. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right, brother.
And that's the days that we live in, Coach. They are. They're everywhere. That's why I wear this ugly shirt. And the ugly shirt actually does work. And, you know, if you got time, get out there and get some made. I got all mine made. And hand them out. They do work. People that sometimes they'll be goofing around, but it can get serious real quick when the Holy Ghost is in you.
Amen.
And most of the time, yeah, because I got a hold of them guys. They wasn't expecting what all. I don't even remember what all I said. That it just came out like a machine gun. And because it's in you, you know, if the love of the Lord's in you, it's going to come out. Even if you say, well, you know, I can't really memorize scripture. I try, blah, blah, blah. Listen. If the Holy Ghost is in you, that scripture is going to bubble out of you. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
It ain't about knowledge anyway. It's about the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, love you, Coach. Appreciate you.
If it's in you, it'll come out of you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking for something here. I want to. I see my buddy Coach Norm. Coach Norm's listening there. Coach, I got to share this with you real quick. I'm sharing it for everybody. Folks, I'm talking about planning and giving it time to grow, and then a harvest. You don't know. You don't know, folks. You just don't know. So, Coach E, you remember a guy? You don't have to come. I'll get you, Craig, Kevin. You remember a guy, Coach, that played quarterback for us? We called it Chicken Head Left and Chicken Head Right. Well, I just found out that he's been battling cancer. And he just got a good report on it. And Coach E, I commented on Facebook about it. Hey, man, so anything I can do to help? And Coach, make a guy want to cry. He said, I'll get in contact with you, Coach. I want to be a Christian warrior like you. See, fear of death does something to you, doesn't it, folks? Huh? Staring down death. What was that song?
Amen.
Spencer, maybe you can find that for me real quick, Spencer. Alan Jackson. No, was it Alan Jackson? No. Live like
Live Tug like McGraw's
kid. Tug McGraw's kid. What was his name?
Live Tim like McGraw. You were dying. Live like you were dying. I think it's what
Live like you were dying, baby. Live like you were dying. See if you can find that. I played that the other day, didn't I? Huh? But something about almost dying makes you live a different way. Huh? Play that real quick. I'll get you, Craig. Kevin, I'll get you. Some of you out there, you can do this.
You said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me. When a moment came that stopped me on a dime, I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I'll chance to live like you were dying. He said I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't, and I became a friend a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition, and I went three times that year. I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was a gift, and you got eternity. Think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull.
Live like you were dying. Live like you were dying. Come on in, Craig. Live like we're dying, because we are.
I just want to say thank you for people who've been praying. Damn, finally turned the corner here, I think, last night after a week. after a week. And her lungs have challenges when a normal day is. So when she gets the flu or when she got COVID, I mean, that almost took her out. But this kind of ties along with what I think your theme is here, Coach. And I remember sitting behind you at Dale's church, and you had your Bible. I seen you highlighted it. I write things in my Bible. And when she was really sick, you know, because, I mean, just think if you coughed once a minute every hour for like 5 days, you got like 10,000 coughs. I mean, you begin to lose the will to breathe. I mean, that's where she's at. I mean, she was like losing the will to just fight and breathe. But anyways, I remember back in COVID, I said, man, I know I put this in there. And I said, I remember this one phrase. I said, this is praise, honor, glory. And I wrote a note, said Pam sick. And I went through about 500 pages in my Bible to find where I ripped this. And I found it. I'm getting ready to read it here because I think it might mean something maybe to you, Gary Pierce, there. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may found to praise, honor, and glory. And I remember when she had COVID and she just coughed and nothing was working like it was. I just say, praise, honor, glory, God. Praise, I don't understand it. Praise, that's all I hung on to.
Amen. Then it says, Craig, because Craig, the reality of it is your wife will never die. She'll leave you. She'll leave us. She'll leave this. She ain't never going to die. Is that unbelievable, folks? Do we really grasp that? You're going to leave, but you ain't never going to die. And you know, you walk by every day, people are going to leave and they're going to die. Everlasting life, eternal life. What does that even mean? Not everybody gets it. Didn't mean to cut you off, Craig. Good testimony, man.
And then it goes, it kind of ties along with what you said. It says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Which I mean, that's what they're revealing. Whom having not seen, you love. So in other words, we haven't seen him yet, but we have faith in him. He says,
that's right.
Thou know you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good couple words there. If you're going through a trial and you don't understand and it's not getting better, that worked for me. So,
amen. Does the Bible say, I'm going to kind of paraphrase here. We don't see him, but we know that we will be like him. Isn't that what it says? Eternal life. Really, eternal life?
When we see him, we'll be like him.
We will be like him.
That's right. Because if you saw him in this particular thing, unless he changed his you die. Okay, that's why when God came down, he said, "Take off your feet. You're standing on holy ground."
Yeah, that's right. They couldn't even look at him, could they? The angels couldn't. And is it in Isaiah? The angels could. They couldn't even look at him.
Well, there's such a high magnet. We talk about frequencies, Coach. There's such a high magnetic field. It's not only reverence, taking your shoes off. If you're not grounded, your heart would stop. Okay, you're in such a magnetic field. That's what I keep talking about. Okay, and that's why they went over on dry ground. Okay, because if it was wet, they would have been shocked to death because the spirit that was in front of it had a high magnetic field.
Wow! 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 Kevin, come on in.
We can't take our next breath for granted.
Uh-huh.
And Wednesday of this week, my daughter got moved into ICU. You know, after she gave birth to my granddaughter Saturday. And by Wednesday, she was sepsis.
Mm.
And
your daughter was, not your granddaughter. Your daughter.
No, my daughter was. My granddaughter's fine. She's doing great. She's a beautiful, she's wonderfully, beautifully made, like you said.
Uh-huh.
And So I just, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I said, if there's any way that I can, I said, take me, don't take my daughter. Let her get a chance to raise these babies. And I know he listens. And I know, and thankfully, thank God, she's turned around. She's getting much better. Hopefully, she may even be released today.
Amen.
It was a scary Amen. Situation for a little bit. And you didn't get to know her very much, Coach. But Gabby is such a wonderful young lady. Mm. She was with us at January 6th, and she kind of lives like she's dying.
Yeah, we got to live the right way like we're dying, though, right? Got to live the right, right way.
That's right. That's right. So,
amen.
Anyway, I just you can't take anything for granted. So, live like you're dying.
That's right. Blessings, Kevin. Come on, Jeff.
Jeff, just a little story yesterday. You know some of the stuff that goes on. I've talked to you before, the family, the business, and my car lot, this and that. You know what I mean? Just struggles. You're just talking about stuff in life that we're dealt with. Yesterday, as we're going through this thing of the death of my mom a couple months ago, never really been close with my nephew, Josh. It's been distance. He coaches football, high school football at Danville. He's a big shot with the Budweiser Brewing Company. Had on all the stores with their beer and their alcohol stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really know much about him, but he sat in my office for about a half hour yesterday. He brought me my check from mom's estate. He's in charge of that stuff. And all the lies that were told during her death, you know, that, Jeff wasn't there for his mother and blah, blah, blah. So I got to share with him.
Hmm.
Not only shared that, and I got to inform him, you know, I was out there with mom on different Sundays and talked to her about ready to go to heaven, mom, see Clyde, you know, la-da-da-da-da, and stuff like that. Right. So he understood a little more. We talked about the people with their problems with alcohol. He said, you know, Uncle Jeff, he said, I sell beer. I do all this. He said, I get it free. I don't drink it.
Hmm.
Well, good for you, young man. And we talked about Christ. Talked about Christianity, and he says, Uncle Jeffy, I just want you to know, the books are open. You want to see anything I've done with mom's estate, grandma's estate, he called her. He said, you can see it all. You just let me know. I said, Josh, if I can't trust you, then so be it. I said, I believe you've probably done the right thing. I said, if we don't, we're going to pay the price on Judgment Day. He looked at me, he goes, oh, he said, I don't want to do that. He said, He said, but the conversations were so great. And he talked about selling the farm out there. He said, I grew up out there on that farm. Talked about Clyde and my mom. Clyde was a stepdad, step-grandfathered him. But they all loved him. He'd come to all the softball games, all the football games. Him and mom went everywhere, to all the games. Anything kids were in, they were there with their lawn chairs. He said, Uncle Jeff, I'm going to take a little bit of that money I got. He said, they're buying AstroTurf at Danville. I'm going to pitch in on it, have a plaque made with their name on it. They're always going to be there at the games with us on the plaque. So we got to just chat about a lot of stuff and opened up, and he got ready to leave, went to shake his hand, and he's a big boy. He's like a big lineman. You know what I mean? He's huge. He just stopped at the handshake and grabbed a hold of me and hugged me. He said, I love you, Uncle Jeff. I said, I love you too, buddy. You know what I mean? So it was a good time yesterday. It was just great. But God worked in mysterious ways. You worked through me and Josh both yesterday. Just incredible. So I just want to thank the good Lord for all that yesterday.
Well, you know what? I don't think they're mysterious ways. I think we just think they are.
We say certain things. We just say that word, mysterious way.
That's right. All right. Yes, sir. Glenno. Glenn.
Yeah. Alan Zeifer reminded me of something. And it's that it's the young people that are seeking truth. And Alan, if you're still on here, I experienced that myself last summer. Phil Parr, Karina and I spent some time with Phil and a couple of guys that go to these county fairs in the summertime. They set up a tent and they have a big sign outside, would you like to know your future? And it's mostly young people that inquire and come in and sit down and want to know what their future's about. And we turn it toward the gospel. What I found is that most young people, they don't know anything about Christ. They don't know anything about Jesus. And Coach, you probably have experienced this when you go to Worthington Kilburn High School. I really think that that's where the opportunity is to share the gospel. It's not older people that are coming up. Yep. It's younger people that are seeking.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we have to be sensitive, because there's opportunity there.
Glenn, the truth of the matter is older people have been wounded by the gospel. That's the way that I see it. Especially our generation has been wounded by it. And we've given them a gospel that doesn't cost them anything. And then when it does cost them something, to hell with this. I was better off. I got treated better running in the bars. I had a guy tell me one time. I got treated better by my buddies down at the bar than going to church. And there's more truth in there than what we understand. But see, it's again, I got so much stuff I wanted to show. I'll do it on Monday. I didn't get around to it, right? That the gospel's so misunderstood. We do such a horrible job. Coach E, I'm looking right now. I see that you're in here, Coach. I'm looking at this thing from chicken head left and chicken head right. I had no idea that he's fighting cancer. Now he's clean. He's on the other side of it. And Lord, think of the seeds. Folks, I can't even tell you. The seeds I planted in that guy's life. And they're bearing fruit. How many years later? 20? How long have I been away from London? 1990? How long ago was 1995? Anybody help me out? How long ago was that? 30 years. 30 years? And it's bearing fruit now? Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Because look, there is no time where God is. Ain't no time there. There's time here. Sun goes up, sun goes down. We measure Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all that, right? Ain't no time where he is. Ain't no time. And so we gotta understand that. Yeah. See, I wanted to get into today. I'll get a chance. Lord will give me a chance. Maybe we'll do it on Monday. I want to do a great, we don't understand Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We call it ghost. Why do we call it Holy Ghost? We call it a ghost because what? It's an immaterial part of it. The Father is real. The Son is real. And the Holy Spirit is real. You can't see it. You can feel it, but you can't see it, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How many people do you think that you come by every day who could not explain to you body, soul, spirit? The triune man. Could you explain that to somebody? You go to church your whole life. Could you explain body, soul, man, God, Son, Holy Spirit? Triune, both sides. Remember, created in his image. Created in his image. He's three part. We're three part. Yet, does the average person understand the soul, the spirit, the difference in the two? Does the average person understand that they're just a meat suit walking around carrying a soul powered by a spirit? Do we understand that? Can I tell you the truth? I was 38 before I did. And I'm going to tell you this. You're going to church with people who don't understand it. They don't understand it. But there is a part of you and a part of me that is going to live forever. It's called the soul. But people don't, the Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. Well, we know the body dies. We see that. The spirit never dies. Because the spirit returns to God who sent it. Psalms, I'm not sure which one it is. When somebody dies, life doesn't cease, baby. That life returns back to God who gave it. The body rots in a grave. That soul lives somewhere. Craig.
Well, just make it easy for him. I can actually do it in there, Coach. Not to, because the Lord showed me this. That's all. Because your soul is your body. Okay, that's why His first commandment is so important. It says, "Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." Your mind's the conduit. It's the connection of the spirit to the soul. Okay, so think of it this. Just think of it this way: you got these beautiful living flowers. You need a vase and some water to put them in, right? You put them in the vase, right? So what happens when you take the vase and the water out? You got this little vase, right? There's nothing in it. There's no life in it. It has its beauty, but you put those flowers and you put that water. That's the Holy Spirit. That's you right there. You know, the living flowers, right? That's your spirit, right? The water, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And then the vase, that's just your body. And I was going to share this with you earlier, and I thought, well, it's not kind of going on, but it ties into this here. You know, I kept reading in 1 Peter after that, you know, from just being here at home all week. I'm reading here from verse 3 and verse 18. It says, for Christ suffered once for the sins of the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Like, we think we're bringing people, it's him bringing to God, right? Being put to death in the flesh, so the flesh is dead, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he, being Christ, went and he preached to the spirits in prison, not the souls. He's preaching to spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering, that would be Yahweh, the divine, and he is long-suffering, waited in the days of Noah. So now we have a piece of information. He's talking about the days of Noah. He's waiting, and he's preaching to these spirits who were in the days. I wonder whose spirits those are. Probably the ones that from Genesis 6, who crossed over and got into humanity, mankind, who were spirits that were never supposed to do that, right? Sons of God. It says, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, eight always represents new beginnings, were saved through water. Kind of sounds like baptism. There's also an antitype, which now saves us, baptism, right? Then this, mine's New King James, says, this is not in, it says, parentheses, not that the removal of the filth of the flesh, the soul, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. And here's the thing, angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. So spirits are eternal, you're right. Our souls are our bodies, they're the receptacle. But the God's going to bring us our spirits and our new souls, and they're going to be perfect like they were, as Adam was perfect in spirit, perfect in soul.
So, folks, I love to use this illustration. Thanks, Craig. Running out of time here. I love to use that illustration. You want to show somebody the three parts of man. Show them a hard-boiled egg. You take that hard-boiled egg. Maybe they've never seen an egg. They got a hard-boiled egg and you crack it. And you peel off that outer shell. And now you got an egg. But if you get out a knife and you cut into it, or if you bite into it, you're going to find out, wait a minute, there's something inside that egg white. There's something inside that thing called a yolk. But you know, I thought the egg was the egg. Body, soul, spirit. God, help us to understand that. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.